Audiobook of Mystery of Egypt, The First Tunnel, by Rudisinema with Peter Moon. Rudisinema is a Romanian author and a very mysterious figure who was chosen by the head of Department Zero, the most secretive department of the Romanian government's intelligence network, to write about what was found from the secret excavations beneath the Romanian Sphinx in 2003. Text here is copied from file on achieve.com, but may have mistakes not discovered, corrected. Chapter 1, A Formidable Chance. It is certain that the last 2 years of my life have brought profound transformations. This applies not only to my views and ideology of the world and the purpose of life, but to my social integration and the access I had to some realities which would be very puzzling for the common person. I have to add that I have also had the chance to come into contact with a very elevated area of esoteric knowledge. Especially for this, but also for everything else, I am very grateful to Caesar Brad, who has enlightened my power of understanding of some fundamental aspects of life in a very practical manner. For now, I can neither analyze nor fully understand the subtle causes which have led to my quite active participation in the complicated chain of events related to the activity of Department Zero, but it is certain that Father Arsene Iboka's vision is fulfilling step by step. In this very special period of my life, I've often and seriously asked myself if what I experienced and saw was a dream or the actual reality of daily life. I soon learned that, at least from the point of view of principles, the distinction between these two states of consciousness is quite relative. In some very intense moments, the border between dream and the so-called physical reality seems very blurred. My meeting with the goddess Mukundi in a cave in Tibet, and especially my initiation on the Gyugya peak of the Rituzat Mountains, described in Transylvanian Moonrise, can be very easily included in this category. All of these events have opened new perspectives of daily life for me which I had never thought of before. My objectives have greatly changed and my aspirations have turned with great power towards the further study of esotericism and spirituality. Thanks to the amazing information I had been told by Elena the alchemist featured in Transylvanian Moonrise, I secretly had a strong wish to be initiated into the secrets of authentic alchemy. I started to understand that almost nothing happens by accident in our life, and that our relationships and our meetings with certain persons who leave us with profound mental and emotional impressions are actually the result of mysterious causes which only appear to be accidental, but which, in fact, lead to a well-defined purpose. During the short period of time that I spent with Eleanor, this turned out to be entirely true, because, shortly after we returned from our trip to the Rituzat Mountains, he informed to me that he had to leave the country for an indefinite period of time. Eleanor explained this to me during a phone conversation, and I remember noticing the suggestive pause he made after telling me about his departure. Eleanor then told me that Dr. Xen had advised him to let me take care of his villa during his absence from the country. They probably discussed more on this subject, but Eleanor only shared with me this totally unexpected offer. The discussion took place in February 2005, and I, being quite nervous and surprised, gladly accepted his proposal. Not only was Eleanor's villa a very nice and modern place to live, but I was irresistibly attracted to the huge library which occupied two of the big rooms on the first floor, which were especially designed for study purposes. During one of my visits to Eleanor after our return from the Rituzat Mountains, he showed me the entire house and its annexes and shared a lot of details with me, especially about his library. I looked with astonishment at the almost 7,000 books, some of which he told me were very rare, which were nicely and orderly arranged on special wooden shelves. Now, as I look back, I am sure that there was a hidden meaning to his wish to show me the house. It was highly possible that he and Dr. Xen were only helping me get acquainted with the premises. Of course, I reacted with a barely withheld joy when I understood what my conversation with Eleanor was about. After a short pause, during which I could feel his happiness that I had accepted his proposal, he spoke to me in a serious tone. "There is something else that I want to talk to you about," he said. "But we have to meet for this purpose." I guessed that it was something more serious, and we decided to meet the following day. In the evening, I arrived on time and was anxious to find out the reason why Eleanor had invited me to his place. Ayo, first of all, I have to tell you that I will leave the country tomorrow. This was the first important piece of information which he shared with me. Although I was quite amazed that events were developing with such haste, I had already learned to adapt to such circumstances by controlling the flow of thoughts and natural questions that came into my mind and placing them in order according to their immediate relevance and necessity. Eleanor then provided me with some technical and administrative details about the maintenance of the house before asking me to follow him to the basement, a place I had never been before. I descended down an elegant flight of stairs made of white marble leading to a sort of round living room with a diameter of approximately 5 meters. The curved wall was painted in a gorgeous light blue color which had a calming effect, and the marble floor showed a mosaic displaying a symbol which surely had a deep esoteric meaning. It was a triangle with its base at the flight of the stairs we had descended and its peak at the only door of the basement. The triangle was ochre-colored and inside it several complicated signs were drawn. Among these, I recognized a well-known symbol, the Caduceus of Ermatilda copyright Hercury. These signs, however, were made of white and dark red marble. When I descended the last step, I suddenly felt a chill from head to toe as followed Eleanor to a door which was made of massive wood and metal. On the central part of the door was encrusted a symbol made of a copper alloy. It represented a big circle made up of a snake which was twisted in order to catch its own tail in its mouth. At the door, I noticed that a digital alarm system had been installed which Eleanor deactivated with a code. Immediately afterwards, I could hear a specific sound signaling that the security system had been deactivated. Eleanor then pressed the door handle and we entered a very large room where I could see several pieces of equipment and installations, many of which were made of glass. Invited to go inside, I walked into what seemed to be a sanctuary but soon realized that it was, in fact, a laboratory. In time, I had the chance to see a few pictures and pictograms which represented moments in the lives of middle-aged alchemists. The complexity I saw in the basement of Eleonora T.M.'s villa, however, greatly exceeded the frail representations of the old drawings of alchemists at T.M. laboratories from the Renaissance. His systems of test tubes were very complicated and some of them had arms that extended above our heads across the room, intersected and then descended to glass recipients. Some of these vials were bigger, some smaller and they featured various shapes such as cones and spheres. There was even a sand glass. I also noticed two modern centrifuges with several test tubes and a strange metal installation which was connected to what I considered to be the oven. I also noticed a computer. On one of the room's TMS walls, there was a large cupboard with several shelves where different colored substances were stored inside of glass receptacles, each one of which was labeled. Moving closer to one of the shelves, I randomly read the label of a glass jar which had been perfectly sealed with a special lid. It read A.E. sodium thiosulfate. Everything was in perfect order and it was obvious that everything was specially arranged for maximum efficiency. About one-third of the cupboard had been arranged differently, and I could see several books and manuscripts which seemed to be very old. I am sure that they contain a TM-specific documentation concerning mysterious alchemical processes. I turned to Eleanor, who was busy fine-tuning something on a metal device placed near the central marble table where retorts and glass receptacles had been placed. On the wall behind him, I saw two automatic and very large ventilation installations which are designed to set and maintain the atmospheric indexes of the room to preset values. There were four fire extinguishers on the ceiling and near the modern oven was a very narrow leather sofa meant for only two people. I went over and looked at that place because the oven had a special shape, it looked a bit like a house with a sharp roof. Ayo, unfortunately, IADM reached the conclusion that no matter how high performance and accurate this modern electric oven is, it cannot perform as well as a classic oven with a flame, A. Eleanor explained to me. A certain subtle dimensional aspect of the process is missing, but I am still meditating on this matter. A. After a short pause, he smiled. I must tell you, he added, that since I had everything installed here, nobody else has entered this room, but I feel that you are different, and this is why I wanted to show you this secret side of the house. Given your current level of knowledge, however, it is much too early to go into technical details and explain to you the alchemical processes that I am working on. Furthermore, these processes hide many enigmas and I am still studying them myself. I then asked a question which had been on my mind. Aou Haven at TMT obtained the Philosopher at TMS stone yet, have you? A. Elena laughed and relaxed. Aou, my dear, this is the purpose of all alchemists, he replied. Aou, this is the fundamental aspect of their practice. If I had already obtained the Philosopher at TMS stone, I would almost have had no reason to come here to this lab. I have, however, reached some intermediate results. After saying that, he turned to a section of the big cupboard and took from a shelf a little jar containing a yellowish copper-colored liquid. Elena poured two drops of that liquid into an elegant silver teaspoon and then invited me to drink that liquid. A bit nervous and unsure, I took the teaspoon and quickly swallowed the liquid. Actually, due to the small quantity, I almost did not feel the liquid in my mouth. At first, I did not TMT notice anything unusual, but after almost half a minute, I was staggering. An acute nausea seemed to block the breath in my throat, which seemed to have swollen because I could no longer swallow. Suddenly, I began to feel sweaty. In a panic, I sat on the sofa in front of the oven. Meanwhile, Elena quietly read a book he had taken from a shelf. I was still having reactions to the substance I had consumed. I felt a sudden heat in my feet which quickly rose to my head. My heart was beating crazily as I continued to sweat. When that intense feeling of heat reached my throat, I felt a strong energy release around me, like a sphere. It surrounded my head with what felt like thousands of needles. I think that I lost consciousness for a few moments, but I managed to resist that very intense sensation. Gradually, I felt the heat dissipate, leaving me with a very agreeable and very pure feeling. I actually felt a full cleanliness as if I had just been born. My soul was flooded with a great joy and my strength suddenly came back but amplified. I jumped off the sofa where I had just been laying down in torment. Without considering how loud my voice was because of the joy and excitement I felt, I shouted to Elena that I wanted to drink more of that liquid. He closed his book and looked at me in amusement. Aou, of course, ATM, he told me, Aou, but only if you wish to leave this world. This elixir is so powerful that, given your current state and psychophysiological condition, your body would surely give up. Do not forget that one of the essential rules of alchemy is to keep the proportions of harmony. In time, these will guide the human being to a more and more elevated physical, mental and spiritual condition. The human can then understand everything in a different manner, from a superior point of view. I could hardly refrain from contradicting him, but I did realize, however, that he was telling the truth. Afterwards, we both left the room. Elena secured the entrance and led me to the living room on the ground floor, where he informed me of several administrative details which I would take care of while he was gone. He told me he had confidence in me and that a time would come when he could better explain some specific operational aspects of alchemy to me. Elena emphasized that I first and foremost needed to study hard in order to reach that level. I immediately caught the hint to utilize the huge library at my disposal, and I sincerely thanked him for the faith he had in me. The following day, Elena left Romania. And even though he told me his destination as well as other specific details concerning his departure, he asked me not to tell these details to anyone. Because I know the general aspects of his life, I immediately understood his motivation. He got into his personal car, where he was accompanied by a mature man who I did not know. I was struck by the fact that Elena only carried a small travel bag which probably contained the enigmatic device he never parted with. He told me that he did not know precisely when we would see each other again, but that it would again be possible in a not very distant future. He handed me all the keys to his house but did not tell me the code to his alchemy lab in the basement. He asked me to understand that his decision was an extra precautionary measure for both of us. I then felt a deep regret. Noticing my disappointment, Eleanor told me it was only a temporary situation that I did not need to worry about. Soon you will understand that everything that happens has its own time. Everything happens in a certain order and is directed by a certain space-time necessity which we should only overrule in exceptional cases. This will become clearer to you as your knowledge deepens. Sometimes, to your amazement, the A-Leaper TM can be unexpected. We said goodbye and parted, both of you hoping that which had begun would continue somehow by virtue of evolutionary laws. I had no idea how right Eleanor TM's words were when he had told me about certain moments in life when chance gives us amazing opportunities. Next headline, The Re-Encounter. I soon found out that Eleanor TM's library contained remarkable works and that many of them were of an inestimable value. Accordingly, I made our habit of going there as often as possible and sometimes stayed for hours reading and summing up the books which had been so carefully selected. Many times, I strongly wished Caesar was there to clear up certain aspects I could not fully grasp within those esoteric texts. I longed for his calm and kind voice, which was never prone to sounding ironic or crazy due to my lack of knowledge in such matters. His simple presence and closeness made me feel safe, enabled me to think clearly and opened my soul. After Eleanor left, I was almost utterly alone, preferring to meditate as deeply as I could on the persons I had met and the events I had lived through during the past few years. I slowly began to understand that there is a profound meaning to the way our life develops and that everything that happens to us is, from a causal point of view, directly connected to other actions we have performed before. My firm conclusion in this regard, however, was based only upon intuition because I was not yet able to recognize the arousal of my past actions which had led to the extraordinary circumstances I was now involved in. I had the feeling of a guiding line which I could intuitively feel in my heart and soul that guided me step by step from the unknown. Starting from this idea, I asked myself who or what was thus guiding me. A long time before, I had already decided to serve good, no matter the risks, in an altruistic manner in accordance with the possibilities of my own personal path. Furthermore, the main pathways by which I was guided to acknowledge this were suggested to me by people to whom I practically owe everything with regards to my own spiritual maturity. I am particularly referring to Caesar Brad, Dr. Xen, Eleanor and especially the goddess Mukundi. I have learned that many readers of my previous books were impatient or wondering why the third volume of this series was not published earlier. With utter sincerity, I must admit that I saw no point in writing a book in which I had nothing to say save for my mental alchemy and my better understanding of some initiatory teachings. Furthermore, as Dr. Xen had told me, it was not yet time for me to reveal the spiritual techniques that had been translated from the text of the scroll which had been hidden in the Tibetan cave where I had met Mukundi. Although I had lived in a common way during this period, it was by far the most intense and lively stage of inner transformation that I had ever experienced. Due to the firm decision I had made to understand as much as possible of the mysteries of life and reality around me, I forced myself to stick to a rigorous schedule of study and meditation while at the same time assiduously practicing the five secret Tibetan techniques from the scroll which had been given to me in Tibet. I had already felt for a long time that the inner transformation I had experienced was primarily based upon my meetings and conversations with Caesar, as well as the very special state of consciousness in which I had been projected into and kept for a few hours by the bewildering goddess Mukundi. All of this had acted as a catalyst for the decisions I later took, and this was confirmed by Eleanor TM's proposal, which gave me the opportunity to study an ocean of books that have broadened my knowledge of esotericism. I industriously studied the main works on Oriental philosophy and developed an understanding of the main principles of Hindu spirituality and a few of its fundamental practices. I also studied the essential ideas of practical occultism and esoteric symbolism and learned some of the main ideas that allow for an intelligent correlation between the main religions of humanity. Despite all of this acquired understanding on my path to the depths of true knowledge, I still felt that I had only managed to break through the surface layer covering ignorance. For example, Even though I discovered a lot of information in the works I had read, I still needed some nuanced explanations to clarify my understanding of different aspects of creation. I knew Caesar was the only one who could provide me with those explanations, and I therefore often thought nostalgically of him, remembering the precious moments we had spent together, which were true moments of spiritual initiation for me. This period of intense ETM spiritual practice and study lasted for several months after Eleanor had left me to take care of his villa. As Caesar had advised me during our last meeting, in the winter of 2005 and shortly before Eleanor had offered me his proposal to take care of the villa, it was only necessary for me to write about the truly essential aspects which target the important and complex information of humankind. Thy's information was supposed to refer to some extraordinary realities I was confronted with, as well as some basic concepts which can positively mark human existence. I was just beginning to get used to the relatively quiet life of gathering esoteric and spiritual information when an unexpected event once again shattered my normal flow of existence. The rapid succession of events that followed and their implications have led me to be in a state of effervescence and dynamism which has helped me to approach the situation both bravely and maturely. I had already experienced some amazing events which were very intense from an emotional point of view, and I already had an acceptable knowledge level to help me keep my physical and psychical balance. I must confess, however, that there were many moments when I had to make an effort to hold myself together and overcome some difficult situations I had lived through during the past year. I am also aware that the opportunity extended to me meant a lot, and I dare believe that the subtle play which made everything possible implies dimensions of consciousness to which very few persons have access. I will therefore try to be as precise as possible when I tell you the events which took place, and to explain to you as well as I can some important nuances of the advices and explanations given to me by Caesar. Furthermore, I am sure that without Caesar at TMS help I would have never had the amazing opportunity to take part in certain events and to learn the amazing details and importance of these events. One day, in September 2005, I was at my place after having just come back to Bucharest from a short trip in the country. It was evening and I was carefully arranging some books in a bag in order to take them back to Eleonora TMS library. When I did not spend the night there, I had a habit of taking one or two works I was interested in to study at home. I was skimming once again a rare translation of the Bhagavad Gita with comments made by the wise Janaka R. Before deciding whether I wanted to keep it at my place for a while or return it with the other books, I gazed upon some special considerations on the importance of the spiritual master as profoundly expounded upon by the author of the comments. Suddenly, I felt so moved and impressed by what I had just read that I wanted with all my heart to see Caesar again so that he could answer a lot of my questions and that I could deeply enjoy his lovely presence. Staring at the emptiness, I was sadly meditating on the fact that I could not TMT be with him for longer periods of time when my mobile phone suddenly rang. In my ignorance, I often told myself that some of the most amazing events experienced were the result of pure accidents that were really just mere coincidence. Even when they practically defied any logic and exceeded by far any scientific interpretation, I still stubbornly thought, like many others, that I should ignore all the amazing elements and consider them a coincidences. Even though I knew much more at that time, at least in theory, about the subtle connections which greatly exceed normal human perception, I still hesitated to understand the profound meaning of the extraordinary phenomenon of overlapping, or, as Jung defines it, the amazing synchronicity which takes place in our lives. Of course, these so-called coincidences, which only appear to be accidental, are different from one person to the other and can practically include all our daily activity. But what is truly important is not the synchronicity itself, which undoubtedly amazes us, but its profound subtle meaning, because, no matter what people say, the first piece of evidence that these synchronicities are not accidents is that they have a hidden meaning which we can and should uncover. And every time we get over these important coincidences in a shallow and passive manner, we actually miss one more opportunity to know ourselves and others better. In a way, They are like the wind, we can't see it. But we can feel its influence and notice its effects. Such a coincidence, and apparently a most common one, happened to me in that moment. It did, however, cause incredible wonder and exuberant joy in me. Answering the phone, I was struck with wonder as I heard Cesare TM's voice say hello and ask if I was at home because he wanted to pay me a visit. In a hurry, I could hardly speak because of my joy. I answered that it was extraordinary because I had just been thinking about him and really wanted to see him when I heard the phone ring so as to make my wish magically come true. I asked him how this was possible and how it could be explained. Caesar laughed heartily and answered that he would arrive in a few moments. He asked if I was free for the evening because he had important things to tell me and we needed time for this. I told him that I was the freest man in the world and that I was impatiently waiting for his arrival. Indeed. In less than 10 minutes, I heard the doorbell ring. Opening the door immediately, I saw him there, tall, calm, smiling and in perfect balance, looking at me with great kindness. We hugged as good friends, but I already felt deeply in my heart that for me he had become a true master who had initiated me in the secrets of the unknown. Through unknown threads, I felt that he possessed an extraordinary force and determination like I had never seen in anyone else before. His strength seemed so great that each time we met, and only a couple of seconds after I was with him, I felt a deep sensation of well-being as well as an inexplicable nostalgia for the unknown which is beyond this complicated world. My whole being was more relaxed and my mind was clearer. In my head, I felt a sort of eagerness that was so pleasant that it produced an emotion which made me want to cry, just like you feel when you see someone dear again after a long time. Barely containing my exuberance, I asked Caesar to come inside. Starting from what had just happened to me, I was anxious to hear him explain the various circumstances of synchronicity. We both sat on an armchair and, after exchanging a few impressions about the long period of time during which we had not seen each other, I asked again what he thought about the incredible imagery of events that had taken place. I badly desired these golden moments when I would find out important aspects about the enigmas of life. For me, these meetings were like water for the thirsty in the burning desert. Cesare TM's words and explanations had a high impact, and anyone with a minimal sensibility could have noticed his modesty and also his competence. In my case, they had a further dimension which was deeply spiritual and represented true attributes of initiation, both for physical life and for subtle life. Next headline, a subtle demonstration. Smiling, Caesar said, "Oh indeed, a coincidence TM seems incredible, but it did happen and it was real and concrete. In the context of a coincidence TM of this kind, it seems relatively minor but if you pay attention, you'll notice more odd matches or overlapping events which have a different nature but a common cause. The more vigilant you become, the more such a coincidence TM you will notice, and you will even note that they also happen to other people. However, what you will only be able to notice, and with great effort, is their meaning because such experiences are mainly subjective in nature. They relate to the person who experiences them and are intimately related to his or her destiny as well as their mental and physical characteristics. Okay, but what should I understand when I experience such an event? I asked him. I'm sure that it does not occur out of the blue and that it has a very important meaning. It is no simple coincidence, it has a meaning. This is actually the question to which I seek an answer, where does this meaning come from and who determines it? Caesar looked at me for a few moments, thinking. It would be correct to first ask yourself what the hidden meaning is that has been revealed to you by synchronicity. Then, you can start meditating on its cause or source. However, because you asked, I will briefly answer this question so that you'll have a starting point for your later analysis. From an esoteric point of view, what most people call coincidence or synchronicity of events actually reveals God's presence to the highest degree because, in his absence, all incredible simultaneous situations which occur in our lives could not happen. But, The fact that they do happen shows that there is someone capable of organizing them, matching them and making them happen in reality.